WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ilya Marritz in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Have you ever found yourself in this situation, staring down a $25 admission fee at the Guggenheim or maybe the Museum of Modern Art and thinking, yikes, am I going to do this? Well, now, if you have a library card from one of the three city library systems, you don't have to worry about the price of admission. 33 cultural and art institutions, including some of the city's leading museums, will be opening their doors to library card holders for free under a newly announced program called Culture Pass. And joining us now to tell us all about it and to answer your questions is Brooklyn Public Library President and CEO Linda Johnson. I'm a member of your library. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So fill me in. Culture Pass, what is it?
It's a program that the three libraries are participating in that was funded by the Revson Foundation and the Stavros Niarchos Foundation and the New York Community Trust, a program for thriving communities that allows library card holders to go onto a system, either online or if they're not connected, to go into their library and to obtain free passes to, as you said, 33 cultural institutions.
And how's it going to work concretely? Like, what do people need to do? It's not as simple as flashing a library card when you arrive at the museum.
It's not quite that simple, but it's the next best thing.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So you go onto a site and you enter your library card information, and you then see a list of 33 different institutions, and we hope that number is growing, actually, since we launched. And you download passes, and you can download, some of them have as many as the library card holder plus three guests.
And we can take your calls about Culture Pass or just what's going on with the city library scene. For Linda Johnson, President and CEO of the Brooklyn Public Library, number to call is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How did this all come about?
Yeah, the library has been focusing on the sort of intersection between art, culture, and social justice. We've been doing a lot of programming for the past few years in this area and trying to really sort of expand our definition of literacy, making sure that people are not only reading and writing, but also are digitally literate, financially literate. And they should also be exposed to all of the creative thinking that's going on throughout the city, and they should be participating in the creative community in New York City. And so in talking with some of our supporters, we developed this plan and thought, well, the only way this works in New York is if it's done everywhere so that people from every corner of the city can participate more fully.
Right. And so you need to get a library card, you need to show you're a city resident. So typically people would show like a utility bill or something like
exactly.
that, right?
Yeah.
And that then becomes your pathway to Culture Pass and access to those museums.
And access to the world's knowledge as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Where else can people go besides the museums that I named?
So there's a list of 33, which I have here.
But you can just give me a couple.
I'll give you a couple. The Brooklyn Botanic Garden, the Brooklyn Museum, the Children's Museum of Manhattan, the Cooper Hewitt, the Intrepid, the Louis Armstrong House, the Jewish
That's
Museum.
That's a great museum, yeah.
The Museum of Jewish Heritage. So really a broad swath of institutions.
What did it take to get there? Because, you know, I've been watching, frankly, with increasing resentment as the museums have raised their prices again and again, and it really bugs me, and I think it's the wrong direction to go in. And yet you and your partners have convinced them to really make it very easy for New Yorkers to visit for free.
Yeah. So the museums are struggling, of course, you know, to offer the most robust programming and wonderful exhibitions and be financially responsible. And but they're also, on the other side, are really eager for people from every corner of the city to be able to come in and have access to the great work they're doing. The library, like it usually is, becomes the bridge between the city's museums and cultural institutions and patrons who have sort of not been feeling as welcome as museums would like them to feel.
Let's take a call for Brooklyn Public Library President and CEO Linda Johnson. Suzanne in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
My call.
What's your question? Thanks, Suzanne.
Sure. Well, I was in a library in Brooklyn, the Flatlands Library, 2 days ago, and I asked about this program. And I was told by the librarian that I would need to go online. But I was also told that there's a limited number of passes for each library, and that several of them had sort of already been sold out for most of the summer dates. So I'm wondering if it really is, increasing access.
Linda?
Yeah, so there's not a limit limited number of passes per library. There's a limited number of passes for the cultural institutions. So it doesn't matter what library you go to in Brooklyn or any other borough. It's not an unlimited number of passes to the museums who are participating. They've all contributed a specific number of passes.
I see.
And so there was a lot of press, which we were thrilled about earlier in the week, and there was a huge spike in people who were interested in participating. And so there are certain cultural institutions whose passes for the first 3 months have been reserved.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done
some
is...
Some of the institutions are just that popular.
Are just
who
popular.
Are they?
It's about 8 or 9, and
okay.
Off the top
already,
of my head.
Already? So this is really taking off.
It's really taking off. In fact, to date, as of this morning, we've already had 9,500 passes reserved.
Wow.
So the solution, the short-term solution, is we have been initially offering 3 months at a time. So we've added another couple weeks. So initially you could go on and you could reserve passes for between today and the end of September. We've now added October and November. And so we are also going back to the participating museums and saying, how about giving us some more passes?
And let's take another call. Patricia is on the Upper East Side. Patricia, you're on WNYC.
Thank you. I just want to clarify my understanding that these passes only allow for one visit per person per year. Is that correct?
One pass per person per year per institution. So there's right now 33 museums that are participating. You can't go back to the same museum twice, but you can go to any of the museums one time.
Right. Okay. So I guess when I said in the intro, you can visit for free, that's true, but there's quite a few asterisks on that people ought to be informed about so that they're not disappointed.
Yes.
Got it. So you said one of the primary goals is to attract more underserved communities, who might not readily have access to museums and cultural institutions. What else are you trying to do? Because you've spoken of sort of a broader effort at outreach here and museums' responsibilities to do something. So what else are you cooking up?
What are the libraries cooking up? We have an enormous department that is focused on outreach, and we are doing work not only in the 60 branches that are Brooklyn Public Library or the 200-plus branches throughout the city, but also adding what we call pop-up collections, doing work in prisons, frankly, with incarcerated parents who can read with their children if their children come into the library and reserve time, which it does a number of things. It's great for the family, but it's also stressing the importance of the book and reading because the child's spending time with a parent over a book. We do English as a second language, all kinds of work in civic literacy, helping people understand their responsibilities as a member of a democracy, helping immigrants with documentation goes on and on.
How are the libraries doing financially? I remember covering budget cuts in the aftermath of the 2008 crash, and it was pretty brutal. A lot of libraries were cutting hours and whole days. There may have been a couple branches even that closed. I'm not sure, but that was really tough. So how are you doing financially at the moment?
Thank you for asking. You know, our budget cycle concludes on June 30th, and we did very well this year. We have had terrific support from both the administration and from City Council. The libraries had an increase in funding on both the operating and the capital side, so we'll be in a good position to continue to offer six-day service everywhere, seven-day service in some places, and to continue to help renovate and take care of our branches.
Let's take another call. Cassius in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Hello, Ilya?
Yeah. Hi, Cassius.
I didn't hear the sound.
That's okay.
Okay.
What's your question for Linda Johnson?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say anyone can sign up for the NYC ID card really quickly and easily, and you can also get free admission and reduced admission to places all over the city. Since you can only use the BPL thing once per year, you can supplement it with the NYC ID card. But I'm wondering, it seems to me like it was a year and a half ago, maybe even longer than that, BPL took away their app and said they were going to redesign it and implied it would come back in a couple of months, two or three months, and we still do not have an app for BPL. But what is taking so long to reach my app?
Cassius, what did you use the app for, like to search books or reserve books?
Oh, yeah, everything. To search, you can search the entire BPL system and you have items sent to your local branch, and you can put stuff on reserve and also make requests if they get stuff. I mean, I used it for everything.
So first of all, thank you for mentioning the ID NYC program, because the place you should go to register for that card is actually your library. And the programs there that are affiliated with that card are terrific. They are limited in duration. That's a one-year program. But by all means, people should come to the library and sign up. With respect to the app, first of all, people can go onto the website and also perform all those functions that the app was performing. But I will tell you, because I now have it on my phone, that the app is coming very, very shortly. It works beautifully in the testing phase, and so we'll be rolling it out in the next month or two.
Let's take another call. Let's hear from Ed in the Bronx. You're on WNYC.
Hi, I was just wanted to bring up something that a great advantage that I, for me personally, to this new offer, because a lot of times I live in the Bronx and I don't get to Manhattan to go to museums much, and this offer, the way it works, you have to go to the library, print something out for a particular date, then I'm committed. Say I'm going to the Jewish Museum for the first time in my life. I go down, I print out a date, I put it on my refrigerator, and now I know I'm going to go that day, because I love going to museums, but very often it's hard for me to get out of the house and go down there.
Well, I'm thrilled that we're giving you the inspiration and the incentive to do that. And I would tell you that in addition to printing out the pass, you can also have it right on your smartphone if, in fact, you have one.
Okay. Well, I don't, but thank you.
And how has the rollout worked? Have there been any glitches along the way in terms of, having the institutions prepared to read a pass off of a smartphone?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say that the only glitch that we've heard about so far was the first day the system crashed, because we didn't quite expect the volume of traffic that we got. So it's the good news, bad news. But we got it up and going immediately, and since then I haven't heard of a single glitch.
New Yorkers love culture.
They do, and it's a wonderful reason to be here in the city.
I want to press you, though, a little bit on this question of increasing access, because I think it's a wonderful program. It's great that people can get to these institutions for free. It does require a bunch of steps, a few steps. It's not so simple to say, I'm going to leave work a little early today and catch an exhibition on a whim. And so to me, it seems that it has a limited effect in making these elite institutions more democratic. Do you think there are things that they can do that would take this further?
Well, I mean, the thing about finding time, whether it's free or whether you're a museum member or just paying for entry for a specific visit, I'm not sure that it makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I remember
we live busy lives, and if it's important to us, we'll make it happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, I remember when MoMA, for instance, like went to $20, and that seemed huge. And they said, "But wait, you can like go on Friday evenings for free." And yeah, but like maybe you're not free Friday evenings, or maybe you don't want to fight the crowds. It just seems these are tremendous cultural institutions with huge amounts of money coming in. I know the Met Museum has had financial problems lately, but should they, I guess my question is, should they not make it a goal to be more affordable?
You know, I hate to speak for my counterparts at the museums.
I know, it's totally unfair to you. It is.
And we're so thrilled that they've contributed the number of passes that they have. I mean, it amounts to 180,000 yearly guests that they've that they're bridging, you know,
by, across the institution,
exactly, by going through the library. So we're thrilled to be affiliated with them, and we're happy to be the beneficiary of their largesse.
Laura in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I first want to comment that I think this is a wonderful program, but I was just wondering what steps you were taking to ensure that this is being marketed in low-income communities that wouldn't actually be able to afford the cost of admission.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. We're doing a lot to market this. Part of our budget is focused specifically on marketing in general and in specific neighborhoods. And in fact, the museums who are participating have the option to allocate specific passes to zip codes that they are eager to encourage people who otherwise wouldn't go to the museum to start attending. So you can come in and as a participating cultural institution, target a specific neighborhood.
Ilya Meritz on WNYC talking with Linda Johnson, president and CEO of the Brooklyn Public Library, one of the three city library systems that is making this Culture Pass program available, giving people free access to a lot of cultural institutions across the city. Bob in Pelham, I believe, has a correction for me. Bob, what's your correction?
Yeah, I live in Westchester. I have a city New York's public library card, and I believe it's available to anyone who lives in New York State, not just New York City. And even if you don't live in the state, but you pay property taxes in the state or work in the city, you're entitled. I don't know what the Brooklyn rules are.
Linda, you're shaking your head.
Well, we have people who do not live in Brooklyn have the option of paying for a card. Anybody who lives in the borough gets the card for free, and everything that we offer is for free. If you live in Westchester, you could pay $50 to have a card and get the benefits of it that way.
And Regina is on the line in Eastchester, New York. Regina, you told our screener there's a similar program already underway where you live?
Right. The Westchester County Library System, which consists of one library per town, they've been doing this for quite a long time. Most of the libraries will buy annual museum passes for Westchester museums, for New York City museums, for Connecticut museums, and if you're a cardholder of that town, you can withdraw, take the pass out for a week, and use it as many times as you want. And I've used mine quite a lot. It's really a great program. And and I know that some people, when I was living in the Bronx, I did have a White Plains card, so there may be similar situations where people who live in the city do have Westchester cards. And for, like, Bob in Pelham, if he didn't know about it, he should go check out the Pelham Library and see what kind of passes they have, too.
Okay, well, we're not going to help people cheat, but it is good to know that that can happen. Regina, thanks for your call. And I should mention, libraries offer a lot more than books and internet classes and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of, actually, like, stuff that would otherwise be quite expensive that libraries make available for free. Audiobooks, ebooks. I've used Ancestry.com, which is advertised on TV. It is not cheap if you want an individual membership. You can go to a terminal and search Ancestry.com and learn all that stuff.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. There are all kinds of databases that are very expensive that people wouldn't be able to have at home that they can come into the library to use, particularly in the business library, all kinds of search functions and business applications. And also the cultural programming that the library offers. You know, we have Sonia Sotomayor coming in September, which will be a free event. We've had what's called Night of Philosophy at the library, which is a program that starts at 7 o'clock at night and goes until 7 a.m. the next morning in January. It's 60 different philosophers speaking all over the library, films, performances, food, and it's free for everybody in Brooklyn who has a library card.
Amy in Manhattan has a question. Amy, you're on WNYC.
Hi. Well, at the beginning, it was mentioned that you get the pass by going online and downloading it onto. I think you actually said that downloading it on your computer. And I'm wondering then, do you print it out to take to these institutions? Can you get it on your phone and show it on the screen?
The answer is yes, you can do both or either. You can print it out and bring it with you, or if you have a smartphone, you can download it and present it on your phone.
And time for just one more brief call. Sammy in the Bronx, you're on WNYC.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just wanted to echo an issue that has already been mentioned slightly. To use an example, I'm a Bronx resident. And I live right next to the Botanical Gardens. Myself and my wife love to visit with our child with the IDNYC. And there are free days on Wednesdays, which are open to the public. Those are days that we sometimes go to as well, and we just don't see residents, black and brown people who live around here taking advantage. Maybe it's not as marketed as well. Maybe that's not the case. But I really have a concern that...
Sammy, we gotta wrap this up. What, do you have like a 10-second question for Linda Johnson?
I just want to encourage the BPL system and those putting this program together to find more targeted ways of reaching out to those that this program is designed to increase the access to. That's all.
And Linda
That's
Johnson, fair. a 10-second answer to
we
that?
We completely agree, and we are thinking about these issues and working on them all the time.
Linda Johnson, President and CEO of the Brooklyn Public Library, thanks so much for coming in. And I'm Ilya Meretz, filling in for Brian Lehrer. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Mm-hmm.